Hey, welcome. I'm Chris Lopez, host of the Valley Pod, where we talk to all the interesting people of the San Luis Valley. Hanging out with us today in our studio on the south side of Alamosa is world-famous artist, bronze sculptor, Huberto Mestes, and his better half, Dana. How are you, Dana?
Great.
It's good to see both of you, Huberto.
Thank you. ¿Cómo está?
Bien.
Good. Bienvenidos. Valley Pod. Good to see you. How are you liking the snowy November?
I don't like the winter.
Really?
No, I don't.
You're from here. You've grown up in the valley. You're as winter as it gets. You look winter with your cap and your beard. And
well,
you look like a mountain man, winter mountain man.
This is my summer look.
Why don't you like winter?
No, you don't.
It's too cold?
It's too cold.
You prefer the... Why have you stayed in the valley then?
Oh, God,
as opposed to go to a warm climate, California, Florida, I don't know, somewhere. Why have you stayed in the valley throughout your career when clearly you could have, I'm going to figure out, moved on because of how successful you are as an artist?
I believe that my roots are here, and those roots are too damn deep to dig up.
Yeah. No, really, that's
and you know, when I leave, I do like being here. I don't miss it when I'm gone. When we travel or anything like that, sometimes I think we like it here. I don't like winter at all. Just a lot of things that you deal with that, just trying to stay warm. My studio isn't exactly, the one in San Luis isn't exactly the warmest of all, unless I crank up the furnace where I'm melting bronze for a few minutes, warms up the whole building. But generally, it's always, like with everybody else, a struggle to stay warm.
Yeah. So you withstand the winter. You're not thriving in the winter. You're just dealing with it.
I deal with it, but I still thrive in it because I go into my studio, lock myself down, and I actually use that extra time I'm not spending outside just sculpting, being creative.
Are you more productive then in the winter time because you're in your studio and the furnace is going or your wood stove's going and you can work and just focus because you don't have the outdoors that time? Are you more productive in the winter?
I'm not going to say not more productive. Just trying to stay warm might be a little bit a hindrance on production, but I'm productive year round.
Yeah.
And I'm not gonna say more in the summer, more in the winter. I do work more hours in the summer because I stay up late and I work.
You are very productive because I recall last time I was in San Luis, you had all these R.C. Gorman pieces and you were recreating them for his estate or for the family or something, and there was a lot of R.C. Gorman work that you were redo. Tell us about that.
Well, when R.C. Gorman passed away, you know, his whole estate was bought out by an individual who then became and had all rights and to deal with that estate in however he wanted.
Uh-huh.
Legally, he could have, his name was synonymous with R.C. Gorman, so he was able to reproduce anything he wanted. R.C. Gorman, including all the bronzes that I sort of restored and repaired, and we had no records of exactly the edition numbers, but he did reproductions of some of the R.C. Gormans and put them out there. And he opened, before the pandemic, he had 14 galleries, the R.C. Gorman galleries. He's now down to 7, I believe.
You're at that. And I remember the story a little bit because you're devaluing the art when you're doing it the way this, in my mind, you're devaluing the art of a great artist. And you, I think, are the other way. You don't want art to get devalued.
Actually, it didn't devalue that art.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, if it was an original piece, the value went up immensely.
Gotcha.
And if it was a reproduced piece, it's still valued pretty high, but not as much.
That's Dana's phone going off.
Yeah.
Which is fine. Because Dana is like, I mean, she's more than your right hand. How long have you been married?
Well, God created man.
Yeah.
And then he flung Dana onto me.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, she's older than I am, so it's the other way around.
Oh, yeah, anyway, right.
But see,
47 years.
Congratulations, 47 and, years. And, congratulations, Dana, for hanging out that long with him.
Right?
Hey, what year did you graduate from Adams State?
1984.
And what was your course from there, 1984 forward? Because we were talking before we started this recording, we were talking about some of your work with the Vatican and some of your other work in the early days. So now I'm going back to 84 because, you know, that was a long time ago. But what was that beginning like for you? Because I'm not familiar with that part of your story.
Well, I believe I was a subcontractor for a roofing company, Coral Springs, but I always in search of a studio to work in. And I remember one particular week, it was raining a lot. We couldn't work. So I started driving around and on rumor that there was this guy that was trying to open a foundry or a sculpture studio. So I started looking for him in all these empty warehouses in old Colorado City. That's outside of Colorado Springs.
Yeah.
And I found him. And he was a retired or taking a sabbatical from his job as an engineer with Hewlett-Packard. And he had this idea of casting some stuff. He had a couple of buckles that he cast in some workshops or something, and he wanted to open a small foundry. And I told him, you know, I need a space that I need to use as a studio and sculpt. I have this other job, but I would like to partner with you on this business. And so he totally agreed. I had the experience and know-how on metal casting and bronze casting, whereas he had some. But being an engineer, he was able to develop and create tools and equipment that wasn't used in the industry. And technically, I learned how to create, you know, equipment and tools out of stuff we found like Goodwill, believe it or not. And we built a whole foundry based on our desires to create, and at some point he became a full-time partner. So did I in that business. We were casting work for about 30 or 40 artists, of which I recruited a couple of Adams State graduates at the time. So directly after school, after Adams State, I was always sculpting, but you know, you had to make a living. So I was doing that with other careers, but it soon turned into a full-time adventure for me. And many, many of the monuments and large sculptures that are in the Colorado Springs, even Denver area, we worked on.
Yeah. How many pieces do you figure you have out there, and where are some of those locations that you're most proud of? The one, me personally, I'm a big fan of the recent one you did, seriously, on Marcelino Baca. That's in Pueblo at their Walk of Legends thing across from the convention. I love that one. And of course, I guess you got famous for the Stations of the Cross in San Luis. But give us that inventory, or give us some of the things that you particularly are proud of.
I have no idea the inventory. There were...
Dana doesn't have that somewhere, like, right? Because she got to have a record.
She could count to five. Anyway. No.
Yeah, right.
No. Nice. For a long while there, I was very productive. I was doing four or five monuments a year, and one right after another. And I remember, even today, people ask me, you know, you don't even have a website. And he goes, why? And I go, I'm so far behind. If I had a website, I'm afraid that I'd be inundated with... with things getting more work and things getting in the way. I'd rather focus on the work I have.
Yeah.
And when it comes time to where I'm not doing something, something comes up. Based on my experience and work out there, every time somebody walks up the shrine, they're looking at my business card.
Yeah.
Every time somebody's looking at my work in another part of the country, they're looking at my business card. It's my portfolio, it's my work. And I have work in several countries. that I know of for sure. Well, here's an example. I did a series of St. Francis's for the Legatus Foundation.
Is that kind of the one I have that I bought? No.
Probably.
Yeah.
Anyway, that piece went out to every bishop and cardinal in the world.
Wow.
So I produced a lot of St. Francis's, and they were giving us gifts through the Legatus Foundation to these people, including at the time who was just a cardinal, was our present pope.
Uh-huh.
So how many countries? I have no idea, but wow. Pieces, I had a piece last year that was installed at the St. Marcus Cathedral in Hamburg, Germany. This month I'm getting a piece installed at the Cathedral of San Avila, which is in Rome, and it's a pretty big cathedral, and that's the house or the
Theatine house.
The Theatine house for the Theatine priests. And I'm getting a piece installed there, wow. Which I already have a piece there. The Vatican, right now I'm working on another set of series of Stations of the Cross for two different churches, one of them in Denver. They're sort of in between three-dimensional and bas-relief, and also a large set like the ones in San Luis for a church in Kent, Washington, which is a suburb of Seattle. Yeah. So those are current projects.
What's impressive about this, you've really tapped into that Catholic money.
I...
I'm Catholic,
no,
I can
not
say
really.
That. I'm just messing with you. Catholic, I can say that.
That's okay. I mean, I had a guy that would come in my studio and look at a piece and just sit down, have a cup of coffee and stare at it. And he goes, one of these days, I'm going to buy that. And it was a half of a resurrection that I have in San Luis. I did the top half and just put on a base, not the whole figure, and I had it in the gallery. And he goes, I love that piece. I go, one of these days, I'm going to buy it. And, you know, one day he did come by, and he goes, how much? Gave him a price, and he gave me a check, and he goes, I keep it here for a while until I figure out where I'm going to put it. And I go, I had no clue what he was going to do. Well, he was on his way back from Santa Fe to McCook, Nebraska, mm-hmm. I believe.
Yep.
And actually, he lived in McCook, and he loved the piece so much that he wanted to place it in McCook somewhere so he can go and see it every day.
Wow, that's cool.
So he walked down to the local Catholic church, and they said, no, we don't want it. He walked across the street to a Methodist church, and they go, oh, we'd love to have it. So he arranged a time for me to go and visit with him and develop a base that would look appropriate for the sculpture. And we placed it
it was Episcopalian.
Episcopalian church.
Yeah.
Outdoors, a great monument. It's a great piece. Now the Catholics are sitting across the street wondering, why didn't we get that?
Yeah.
But the priest didn't want it. All he wanted was to enjoy the sculpture every day when he walked into town for his breakfast or coffee. And, you know, they love the piece, and that's where its home is at. So...
That's crazy.
It's not all Catholic. No. I've got stuff in other denominations, some of them not that. And it's not me tapping into that world. It's my portfolio, like I said, that gave me that insight.
Well, I have one of your St. Francis pieces, and I'd love it. I mean, it sits in our house, and it is one of our treasured pieces. It wasn't cheap. But I love it,
it could have been more expensive.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. No, seriously, I really do love that piece. Hey, we're talking to Alberto Mestres, the sculptor from San Luis. He's with his wife Dana, and we'll be right back. This is the Valley Pod.
Do you have an idea that could make life in Bonavista even better? Maybe it's new chemistry equipment that will inspire high school students, or medical kits that will help police officers respond to emergencies, or maybe it's transforming a former church into a new community art space. Every day, Monta Vista locals are making their community better with a little support from the Lore Foundation. To share an idea and learn how Lore can help, contact Yvette Atencio at IVETTE@lorefoundation.org.
Hey, we're back. We're with Alberto Mestres with his wife, Dana. Dana, what is your favorite piece of his? You've been with him 4 decades plus.
Well, I have a few. One of his non-liturgical piece that I really love is a sleeping nude that he did. It was a small piece that he carved in marble. And I think we loved the piece so much that he ended up making a molding, casting it. He did an edition of 50, which now we think was probably too small of an edition because we ended up selling out quickly.
Interesting.
And the price did go up as the piece sold, but that was one of our favorite pieces. And he did create an artist proof and a foundry proof for each of our kids. So that was kind of a treasured piece that they love, and I love that too. As far as his liturgical work, the one I really have loved the most is he did a set of Stations of the Cross. They were large pieces, bas relief for a church. It was Guadalupe Parish in Cathedral in Dodge City, Kansas.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You know what happened or what's going on with the gallery that the two of you were working on? And I know COVID messed or changed or got in front of a lot of plans, but you have a gallery. I've been in it there in San Luis. You had intentions to try to market it differently. I mean, take advantage of that traffic that comes through there. What happened in that?
Well, it's wintertime is kind of quiet there. Gotcha. But yes. If anybody comes out, we have the key with us.
Gotcha.
We allow anybody to come in.
Because there's some great pieces in there. I mean,
we do. We have really good art. And we try to maintain a higher standard in our art than the normal gift shop. And I think this winter I'm going to work on getting smaller type items that still reflect the fine art that I create. And by the way, I'm going to go backwards onto the Danos comment about the little nude.
Yeah.
I got a call from the Christie's, the auction house in New York, and they were auctioning one of those pieces that was donated by a donor. So it's reached that level of art. And at the time, I think they got $5,000 for that little nude. When I got commissioned by Father Pat to do the shrine in San Luis, that's what I showed him. I showed him nudes. I just wanted to see where what he was going to think. But that was one of the pieces. The original of that is carved in marble. I created it on a snowy winter day like we're having today. I was bored. Started carving a piece of stone, and I thought it was going to be a rabbit. It turned out to be a nude. But at any rate, it's one of my favorite pieces as well.
I'd like to see that sometime. I'm going to have to look that up. I'm going to have to ask you about that or look at that. But I have noticed that you've been hanging around Alamosa a bit more this year, 2024, working in a local studio instead of your home base in San Luis. And I wonder about that. Have you changed your home base or what's going on with your studio space? Because you are here a lot, which I love. I mean, don't get me wrong. We're happy to have you here in Alamosa.
It was a process 4.5, almost 5 years ago. I lost my studio to a fire.
I remember that.
About 10,000 square feet, so I had a lot of space to do just about anything. The foundry, sculpting, molds, everything that we did, we created there. I had another building which I opened the foundry in. I just had to clean it up and reopen. Within 45 days, I was operational again after that fire. I didn't have time to stop and reflect and moan about everything. I just went to work.
Yeah.
But I didn't have enough space to actually sculpt, do original work. Because if I'm sculpting, I need to focus on that. And in that foundry, it was too distracting. Because somebody would come in and says, can you come help me weld this? Could you make a mold of this? Or I need waxes of that. And so last year, I talked to Ed Klemmer. And it was his studio that I'm sculpting in right now. And he asked me, you need a studio space to work in? And I go, absolutely. I didn't even think twice.
Mm.
I told Dana about it afterwards. And I don't know, there was a little bit of apprehension on both our parts because it's a step that I knew I was going to be comfortable with, but I knew we had to work through it.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is that I focus on just my energies when I'm here in this studio as sculpting, creating new pieces. And right now, if you walked into that studio, you're going to see a couple life-size pieces going, quite a few smaller works. And they're all going on at the same time. So I have no time to, you know, wonder what am I going to work on when I'm in this studio. There's a lot to do every day.
But I'd imagine that when you lost your studio to fire, and I remember that, I had been in that studio, and then you moved to another garage place you had behind the People's Market there, the old R&R Market, and I've seen you in there working. And now you have the Clemmer Studio here in Alamosa. But my question is, that has to be trauma that you go through to lose a studio so personal to you that you had been in. But it doesn't sound like you just rolled right through it and kept going. That's what I'm curious about, that experience there, because you didn't seem to. But I imagine you lost a lot.
When the building was burning, my wife and I are sitting outside in the car. It was four below that night. It was cold.
3 in the morning.
3 in the morning. And I was just about to break in tears. Mm. And all I could say was the art. I didn't care about
I
the
was.
Building. The art. We had just moved out of a bigger home, and we had created some of our art.
Personal pieces we had collected over the past 30 years.
Mm.
And some of it was, you know, they were real treasures. They weren't cheap. They were collector's pieces. And, you know, any one piece was worth 10 times the value of that building.
Mm.
And I knew that we didn't have a recovery for that. There was no way.
Yeah.
So, you know, and still, that is the one part that does bother me.
Yeah.
But a lot of artists, when they lose something like this, is they quit and go and find another career and just said, the heck with this. I think artwork has drilled into my soul, my very being. And if I wasn't creative, I would cease to exist as a person. So, you know, I learned early on in my life and my career, and starting from my childhood, that I had to just drive forward, and this is my passion.
Yeah. I'm glad you found a space that you found here in Alamosa and with someone you respect and like and know. So that's good. Recently, too, you were sharing a new idea you have, a vision you have for another body of work that you're trying to figure out next. Share that idea with us.
First of all, the studio.
Yeah.
First piece I finished was one for Ed Clemmer.
Yeah.
Going back to my roots. And I have a sign in there where I wrote down on my board, 50 years, celebrating 50 years. I sent a photo of that to Ed Clemmer, and he goes, what are we celebrating? And I go, 50 years ago today, that was Easter Sunday, we cast our first bronze together.
Wow.
I was only 14 years old.
Wow. Explain for people who Ed Clemmer is that aren't familiar with the art community, the history of the art community here in Alamosa, Adams State, San Luis Valley.
Ed Clemmer was a professor at Adams State, and he built the sculpture program that I believe was one of the best sculpture programs at the time here. He brought artists from all over the country sort of to help along other sculptors in developing their art careers. And a lot of the sculptors that were my classmates and people they work with are still sculptors today.
Yeah.
So it was amazing the influence he had. And he was a tough professor to deal with sometimes, but he was really, really good at what he did.
It sounds like you found a new home through him in the studio that you're in now. It sounds to me like you finding a new home, and that's cool.
I could have done that anywhere.
Yeah.
And When I rebuilt my studio when it burned down in a month and a half, I told myself I could do this anywhere.
Yeah.
But I chose to still stay here. But to me, this is a step away from the foundry work and just being creative, because I found a couple years there, I was doing so much foundry work, I didn't have time to sculpt and make my own thing and mark my own path. And my path is pretty wide, so I could put anything in front of me and create with it.
Well, I like this other idea that you and Dana are kind of noodling through here that you told me about, which is sculpting local farmers and ranchers here in the San Luis Valley. And maybe, I hope I got that right. Explain that. Or what's the idea there? Because I like hearing that. I like the idea.
Well, both Dana and I are both into sort of our history and where we came from. I grew up on a farm and a ranch. And there were many times as a kid, we didn't have the big machinery, all that big equipment. So a lot of this stuff was done by hand. Sort of your field workers. You know, the people that come from Mexico or people that work in the fields, that's the way they operate. Well, we had a farm and that's the way we did work. And I'm just going back and kind of reflecting on our by nature, our history. The farmers, even the ones that run all the biggest equipment, could identify with this because it's doing the same thing by hand and new equipment. So I'm doing a series of pieces. I'm hoping to do at least 10 that reflect that era or that form of farming or small gardening. And they're both male and female versions of everything. I've got 3 of them complete in my studio that are ready for molds and casting. And I have a couple others started already, but at the same time, I'm creating other work as well. But I have fun creating these because nobody is there commissioning me or telling me how to do something. It is going to belong to part of the body of work that I create that is for my own satisfaction as an artist. And that doesn't stop there because it'll move on to other things from here forward, I believe.
I'd like to see the 3 that you have in progress. I'm going to have to stop by your studio sometime and see those because I'm really curious of those, and I'm trying to bring them up in my mind as we're sitting here because I can imagine what you're talking about and I can relate to what you just said there, and I'm kind of visualizing people from my family going back to the 40s and the 50s and even before that in the 30s and the 20s and you go back to that era and you had incredible faces that people were worn, their skin, the leather of them because they're out in the sun working. And that's, to me, is what's kind of coming in my mind as I was listening to you talk.
Well, I looking for a face to put appropriately with these sculptures, sometimes a struggle, sometimes it's not. Because I just visualize my own life and my own family and friends and individuals in the town where we live. They, you know, you could tell these old farmers, man, just the way they walk, just the way they talk about their little farms and stuff like that. And it's the way they lived. It's a way of life for them.
I want to see this project moving forward. I'm really curious to see where this goes or how he does this and what comes out of it, because again, I can see these people.
So I'm going to ask Dana a real critical question. What does she think of this?
Yeah, Dana.
I actually think that it's an idea that's has been long overdue. People having artists produce work that reflects the culture and history of our community, especially in the valley. It's very much water and land based and agriculturally based, and so I think this is very appropriate. There, one of the pieces in particular I love is the acequias. showing a younger, older farmer helping a younger farmer, teaching him the Aseka culture and how to change the water. There's also a piece, a Native American piece, because in the valley, many of people here are both Native American and have Spanish roots. And the Aseka culture is very much Native American and also a culture that came from Spain.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's something that is, people still continue to do that even today.
I'm really curious to see, because I didn't realize you were that far down. When last time I visited with you, I thought it was just an idea in your head, but it's not an idea in your head. It's an idea in progress on paper, starting to formulate into something else, into a form of art. Do you have to figure out a market for this, or do you just go with the idea and say, I want to do this because it's important to me and I think it's interesting, and or do you figure out, I want to do it, but then how do I sell it?
I think I'm an artist first.
Uh-huh.
I worry about the market later.
Gotcha.
If I produce pieces that I know fit and are going to do well in the market, sometimes that backfires and doesn't work at all. I'd rather create the things I want, and then sometimes the market comes with it. And sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
But I feel like sometimes I create stuff that I think is of value, and it's going to find a home somewhere.
Yeah. In the case of this, it will definitely find a home somewhere. You know, one of the things, and again, we really appreciate all the time you've given us today. We're just going on, and because I like talking to you and I like talking to Dan, and, you know, sometimes we sit in your studio and just talk, and I get lost in my day and time because it's fun to talk to you. So I appreciate you coming in here and giving us some of your time today and sharing some of your ideas and sharing your work. But I got to tell you that one of the things I find most impressive about you and Dana is how much time you give, both of you, to the various communities in the San Luis Valley, the various efforts to establish and promote the arts. You helped me when I was at Boys and Girls Club to raise money for the work that you helped us with that. You're always there to help. You have a piece that's gonna come up with the Alamosa Veterans Memorial Park. You did that piece that's not out there yet, but people are going to see that someday. I mean, but my point is, you and Dana are great people because you care about these communities and you care about the arts and you're always trying to promote them. And I find that really cool about both of you. So I appreciate that.
Well, one of the things we started here in Alamosa, of course, is the sculpture that you see out on the streets.
The Artscape program.
Yeah. We're starting something similar like that in San Luis.
Nice.
And it's sort of, we've done it in San Luis before, so it's nothing new for me. But starting it here in Alamosa, I think it's turned some heads and put a lot, the city of Alamosa puts a lot of value in the arts.
Yeah.
And we really appreciate them, everybody that appreciates the work in the downtown area. And we're trying to expand on that, so. Yeah.
And I think they appreciate us, because I don't know if you're aware, last year the city of Alamosa gave Alberto and I a patron of the arts award.
Nice.
So that was
my biggest point here. And again, we want to let you go and appreciate all your time, but you really have been and are a good ambassador of the arts for the valley, for Colorado, for neighboring New Mexico. I mean, both of you, but you are an ambassador, and I really value that part of what I see from you and from Dan. It's really a cool thing.
Well, it's part of what we are.
Yeah.
I mean, we've always done that and tried to, you know, encourage others. They say, what does it take? And I said, you just got to do it every day. I mean, you got to have the stubbornness not to go forward with whatever your passion is. And there's only one thing that I tell my grandson, who also is a sculptor but wants to be a farmer. And I showed him an article, and it's got a picture of me in the front. It's kind of abstracted a little bit. the Pueblo chieftain with a huge photo of my face right in the middle of this thing. And the statement underneath reads, I do this because I didn't want to be a farmer.
That's a good message to my grandson. Good,
because he's trying to drag me back into the farm thing.
Yeah.
And I'm bucking about it. But I still go out there and enjoy being out there when I am.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. And you see both of you around at a lot of events and a lot of places around the valley. For someone, again, as accomplished, as world famous as you are for the work you do, the fact that you still care about all the rest of us and you keep promoting the valley through your work, to me, is what really is what you're all about. And I really appreciate that, both you and Dan. It's good to see you.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Good to see you. Happy holidays. And hope we'll see you around for Christmas coming up. We're coming into Thanksgiving and Christmas and the holidays and great time coming up.
Oh, yeah. Us. Watch out, turkey.
Yeah. Hey, you've been listening to the Valley Pod in our episode with Huberto Mestes. Dana Mestes is along with him. The Valley Pod is produced by Owen Woods and is part of the AlamosaCitizen.com podcast lineup. We'll see you around the valley. 3 years ago, a new source for community news and information was launched, and we called it Alamosa Citizen. Hi, I'm Chris Lopez. Over the past 3 years, we've talked to hundreds of Valley residents, reported from every community in the San Luis Valley, and we've even recorded more than 200 episodes of the Valley Pod. Can you believe it? Now we need your help. Join the digital news movement and become a member of Alamosa Citizen today. Go to alamosacitizen.com and hit Become a Member, or give anything that you can. It's your support that makes our work possible. We appreciate it.